Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to stick with the NBA, which dominated hour number one. It will start hour number two with us. Dominated being a key word, because that's what the two series we're in right now to this point have been. And dominated by the Warriors and Cavs, respectively. Here to give us some insight as to what the hell we're going to do for 8 days if both of these two teams sweep, as we twiddle our thumbs and wait for the return match between these two squads in the NBA final. And also to talk a little MVP with us, NBA columnist, host on SiriusXM's NBA channel, Mr. Mitch Lawrence. How you been, Mitch?
Hey, Jody Mack, I'm doing great. How are you today?
Good. Appreciate you coming aboard.
Sure.
I know that there are TV commitments and certain things that are even beyond the NBA's control. They make these schedules, and they have to stay committed to them. How much of an edge is the NBA going to lose when they got to sit around for more than a week if both of these two teams sweep, which it sure as hell looks like that's exactly the way it's going?
Yeah, looking like an 8 or 9 day layoff. It's going to lose a lot of steam, and that's unfortunate. I mean, you might have both teams. In that case, you'll have both teams being, 12-0? Which I think would be the first time that's ever happened, both teams sweeping right through. And then everybody's going to sit around for 8-9 days, and there's going to be nothing to really talk about. I mean, it's bad for the league. But look, the playoffs have been a disaster. Look what happened tonight. A little while ago, we got Isaiah Thomas. It's not going to really affect that series with Boston and Cleveland. But Jody Mack, another starting point guard, goes down for the count. Isaiah Thomas is out for the rest of the playoffs with his hip. The NBA has already seen Tony Parker go down and Kyle Lowry go down and Rajon Rondo go down, and Kawhi Leonard obviously impacts the Spurs series. So it really has not been a good trip for the NBA here over the last, since the end of April. It's just been bad.
Yeah, a couple of things, or quotes that have popped up in the last 24, 48 hours. At least one Celtic player said, hey, it isn't like we haven't been down 2-0 in a series before.
Really?
Yes, but guess what? The Cavs aren't the Bulls, and Rajon Rondo did go down in that series, which made a big deal in it. I have not heard anything about LeBron and Kyrie both being hurt. Have you today? Because then we might have something to talk about.
Jody Mack, LeBron doesn't get hurt. Remember how Dave Fizdale said that Kawhi Leonard was a robot in the last round? LeBron James is indestructible. He's playing, by the way. He's in his 14th year at the age of 32, and it's like he's running around like he's 27, 28 years old in his prime. And look, he is dominated, and I love the message he sent. I think he sent it to Golden State last night when he talked about how he told the media, I told you we didn't play great the first time, we could play even better, and we've got another level, even a better level we could play at. So he's sending messages out. And he's also upset, like you referenced, we'll talk MVP. He's also upset he apparently finished out of the running. He didn't finish first, second, or third in the MVP. So that is also motivating him endlessly here.
If it's self-motivation that LeBron needs, which I'd be surprised, I'd be scared if I were the Warriors, if there's just another log thrown on top of LeBron's already inferno-like fire. Last night, I thought the Celtics were going to come out and put up a good effort. I figured, all right, they got beat badly in the first game. They understand if they don't win this game, then this is going to be a short series. And it was 11-9 at one point. Right. And I turned to my computer, and I got caught up doing something. I looked back, and they were down 18 points.
Yeah,
it was 11-9. They were down two.
Yeah.
And I took my eyes off the screen for like 4 minutes. And like that, it was 18, and then I started to pay better attention. They just looked like they were afraid last night. Is that how bad a indictment is that, or am I overstating it to say the Cavs look like they played totally scared?
The Celts. No.
Celts, excuse me.
You know what? I think they've lost belief. You know, you saw Greg Popovich after game two when they got 36, and the mighty Spurs, you know, a team that never quits. He said our players lost belief. We didn't believe we could win. I think that's crept into the Celtics here. And look, they're outmatched as it is. Cleveland's got much more talent. And you can't take your eye off these games because, you know, Boston, doesn't have the firepower. They don't have the scorers, Jody Mack. And so Cleveland can go on these unbelievable runs. I mean, the second quarter was like 40-13 and totally blew open the thing. And they had the biggest halftime lead of any playoff game in NBA history when J.R. Smith made that shot at the end. So I haven't been surprised. I sent out a tweet on the eve of the series saying, to me it looked like this came down to the seltzer, the bug, and the Cavs are the windshield. That's the series we've got. And it's all because LeBron's playing at a high level. Nobody in Cleveland, Boston can match him. And then really you just have a disparity in terms of the talent. I mean, Kyrie and Kevin Love are better than anybody Boston has. And you can make an argument, except for, you know, Avery Bradley might be able to start for the Cavs, but I don't know if anybody else on Boston could get much playing time if they were members of the Cavaliers.
And another quote that came out within the last 24 hours, which I need you to explain to me because it leaves me scratching my head. Bradley Beal, who had a big game in Game 7 for the Wiz, not quite big enough, but had a big game, finally shot it real well. Give him credit for that. But his team lost. Then they were eliminated by the Celtics. Came out and said, the Cavs wanted no part of us in the Eastern Conference Final. You just said nobody on the Celtics can stop LeBron. Who on the Wiz was going to do that stopping LeBron thing?
You know, nobody. But here's the thing. You probably heard this. During the conference semis when, you know, Washington and Boston played that seven games, the big narrative was, well, if it's going to be Washington, they could give Cleveland a better series because they've beaten them in Cleveland in the regular season and they've played them well in Washington and they're going to have to stop John Wall and Bradley Beal will be tough. And I said, you know what? Maybe they get a game. I didn't think. I thought it'd be a sweep too, because Washington just doesn't have the experience and they can't match up with LeBron James either. But Bradley Beal, he should really keep his mouth shut at this point in time and just continue to progress over the summer and make himself better, because you can't be making comments like that, Jody Mack, when your team doesn't even get to the conference finals from that standpoint.
NBA columnist and host on SiriusXM's NBA channel, Mitch Lawrence, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, jump back over to the West. Popovich said, yes, they felt that when they got down in game number two, they had lost a little faith in themselves. So he's got a couple days to get them back together, get the faith back together, but not enough healing time for Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to go in game number three. As good as Popovich is, and he's one of the two, three, four best coaches in the history of the NBA, what magic potion can he have to actually put that belief back into the Spurs that they can be competitive here?
You know what, Jody Mack? Greg Popovich doesn't have the answers here. I mean, people are talking about LaMarcus Aldridge. He's got to step up. We know that LaMarcus Aldridge plays scared a lot in these situations. He refuses to shoot, won't take the big shot. And, you know, besides Kawhi Leonard, who's a huge deal, I mean, you saw the way Game 1 was unfolding. They were going to take that game if Kawhi Leonard doesn't get hurt. But they also don't have Tony Parker. So, you know, their problem is they just don't have people on offense who can create their own shot. Simmons is a young player who can kind of do that, but he's not proven. I mean, that's the thing about Tony Parker. He could still, at his age, he's crafty, he's a veteran, he knows how he can break down a defense, get other people shots for himself, and Kawhi Leonard could do that. And now, the big problem for Pop is he doesn't have other players. And, you know, when you're playing Golden State, it's not a question of shutting them down, to me, because they've got so much firepower and, you know, their arsenal is so big. You have to be able to score, and I think that's where the Spurs, in this series, just don't have the answers, because they can't match baskets and three-pointers with Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry and everybody that Mike Brown can throw out there. You know, we haven't heard a lot about Steve Kerr being out and the impact of that, because they're undefeated too. I'm wondering if that's even going to be an issue here. It's nice that Steve Kerr made the trip down to San Antonio. I'd like to see him back on the sidelines. But it's like that team hasn't even faced, all right, game one was some adversity, but they came back from that, and it looks like now they're just headed on a collision course for the finals with the Cavs.
Mike Brown should get some credit. He's doing some yeoman's work.
Doing well.
Holding down the fort with Kerr being sidelined. On the MVP, you mentioned how LeBron, after the game, noted that he knows what his level of importance is, did so with a smile on his face, and just, again, looking to get himself some personal motivation if he needs it. I'm not sure he does, but if he does, tap into whatever you can. People make it a big deal of the fact that he, quote-unquote, wasn't a finalist, which just means he didn't finish in the top three in the voting. The NBA is having their first ever award show after the fact. They're doing it differently. Anything to put a TV show together and make more money, and right. TNT wants to do it, okay, fine. They had to draw the line somewhere, and they decided to draw it at 3 for the finalists in all the categories. And that's what they released right. last night, was the top 3 and called them the finalists.
Yeah.
Well, so what? He finished 4th.
Yeah.
I know he hasn't finished down as far as 4th in years, but he finished just outside the top 3. If you're going to make an argument, either you make an argument for him, he's the MVP, or it doesn't really matter whether he's a finalist or not. The runner-up is a loser, too. There's only one MVP. So why are people getting so bent out of shape that LeBron isn't a finalist?
Well, it's because of the level he's playing at. But we have to go back to the regular season, Jody Mack. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, you could argue, and I agree, they all had better seasons than LeBron. LeBron's team won 51 games. LeBron didn't play 6, 7, 8 games because he rested. He basically, you know, had a very – he goes through the regular season. He has some big moments, and he has some moments where you're like, is he even trying to play? Why is he taking time off? He talked about now how the Cavs, there's no room for complacency. It's in the playoffs where, you know, we're in the playoffs. I see some complacency out of LeBron in the regular season. That's just the way he approaches it, and we all know he does that because he wants to be at his peak, you know, his physical, his optimum at this time of the year, so he kind of can't have it both ways. He's basically, you know, if you watch his regular season, sure, he puts up phenomenal stats, but Westbrook had a historic year. James Harden had a phenomenal year, which people forget about because of the way he just quit totally in the last Rocket game. And Kawhi Leonard, his team won, you know, over 60 games again. LeBron's team finished second in the East, 51 wins. I mean, you know what? He didn't deserve to be in the top 3 this time around. But he's a guy who thinks he's the MVP all the time. And so, yeah, he's taking this as a slight. And you knew he found out before the game last night because these guys are all plugged in. They know what's going on. And, yes, he's using this to keep the fire stoked because he's, hey, you know what? This is, he's all about his legacy, Jody Mack. And obviously the big MVP trophy he's looking at is the finals MVP. That's the one he really wants.
Agreed. And he's gotten that before, and he'll be gunning for another one. What was your – did you have an NBA MVP vote at one point, Mitch?
No. Oh, I did. I did. It previously, I haven't had one, but I would have voted Westbrook.
When you voted for MVP, what did you use as your criteria? Did the NBA give you the body that was awarding the MVP in any depth whatsoever explain to you how you were supposed to come up with your definition of most valuable player?
No, I usually voted for Michael Jordan back in the day. It wasn't hard, right? I remember. I
he didn't win them all either. The mailman snuck in and won a couple.
Well, he did, but you want to know something? I don't remember voting for him. Okay. I never got tired of voting for Mike. And before that, I voted for a guy named Magic Johnson. And, you know, I came in a little after Larry Bird, right away after Larry Bird had his 3 straight. But I voted for LeBron James. I don't remember voting for Derrick Rose. I mean, I know there's this theory out there that these guys, the voters get tired of what these guys do. I never did. Here's what I did a lot. I would look at who I considered, who's the best player on the best team in the best conference. And a lot of times that was the Bulls. And I know Utah had some big moments with Karl Malone, but, hey, that's Michael Jordan. I'm looking at a guy who's maybe the greatest of all time. So I didn't really have a big formula, Jody Mack. I went a lot with the eye test. Back then, we weren't into analytics. We were into wins and losses and who produced in the clutch. And for me, that was a pretty those answers were pretty obvious.
Mitch, good stuff. Good luck trying to talk 8 days, getting prepped for the final before it actually happens, because I think we're looking at 2 12-0 behemoths meeting up. But we're going to have to wait a while before they actually get it on.
Okay, Jody Mack, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. That is Mitch Lawrence, NBA columnist and host on SiriusXM's NBA channel.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.